In the name of our living Lord and risen Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. Our homily this morning is based on the scripture reading that was just read. Our text describes a group of people from every tribe, nation, and language before the throne and in front of the Lamb. The question is asked about this group: who are they and where do they come from? Groups want to know who's inside of our group and who's outside of our group. And so groups tend to adopt what might be called markers. A marker is a relatively visible practice that serves to distinguish who's inside the group and who's outside the group. Visible markers may be the vocabulary that we use. It may be the style of dress that we wear, or other kinds of customs that we might have, things we do or don't do. Markers determine who's in a group and who's outside a group because they set the boundaries. Let me provide a few examples of groups with markers, and I'm sure you'll recognize these. Let's say that you're in San Francisco in the 1960s, and you're at a stoplight, and right next to you at the stoplight is a Volkswagen van, and it's plastered with peace signs and bumper stickers that say, "Make love, not war." The driver has long, stringy hair, granny glasses, is wearing love beads, and is on his way to Woodstock. You know you're driving next to who? A hippie. Let's say, though, you're in San Francisco in the 1980s, and you're sitting next to a BMW. And the driver's hair is carefully moosed, he's wearing a Rolex watch and Gucci shoes, and he's on his way to a brie tasting party. You know you're driving next to a yuppie because he has the markers. Another example could be a person, a man, heavy metal chains, a long full beard, black cap, black clothing, black jacket, and favorite skin ornamentation, tattoos. The markers are pointing to a biker. In the first century, there were also markers like that defined groups. The Pharisees had highly visible, relatively superficial markers to distinguish who's inside of our group and who's outside of our group. The vast majority of rabbinical writings focused on three areas of the law: dietary laws, Sabbath keeping, and circumcision. Why is it the Pharisees spent all of their time writing about circumcision, dietary laws, and Sabbath keeping? It was because those were the markers for their group. They were highly visible, but relatively superficial practices that serve to identify who is a child of God according to the Pharisees. With their markers in mind, the Pharisees would ask the question, do the people have dietary laws? How are they with the Sabbath? Are they circumcised or not? Jesus also had markers for identifying believers, children of God, his brothers and sisters. He had totally different markers, though, for answering the question, who is a child of God? The question back then, today, and it'll still be the same question 100 years from now, how do you identify a child of God? Jesus answers. Instead of focusing on external markers, which is where the Pharisees' focus went, Jesus goes for the only true marker, the genuine heart of spirituality for defining and identifying a believer. One time when Jesus was asked the question, what's the law all about? Jesus very simply said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart of the law. Jesus said that's the fundamental marker for identifying a child of God. Love. love of God, and love of neighbor. There's another group that has the markers of self-righteousness, trusting in their own righteousness and their own goodness. The members of this group have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All in this group, like sheep, have gone astray. All in this group have turned to their own way. In this group, there is none righteous. No, not one. Everyone in this group has a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. All in this group at times have a lukewarmness toward sin. At times a lukewarmness toward seeking and saving the lost. At times a lukewarmness about obedience to Christ. At times a lukewarmness about prayer and God's word. We are in that group. Yet there's also a group that through baptism has been made part of God's family right now, and most importantly, for everlasting life in heaven. Those in this group, Christ has forgiven all their sins. Jesus has forgotten their sins. He has cleansed their sins because the blood of Jesus Christ washes all their sins away. He has covered their sins. Jesus has blotted out their sins. He has cast their sins into the deepest sea. Christ has put away their sins as far as the east is from the west. Their sins are gone forever. By God's grace, we are part of that group. Again, our text. There was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the angels and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne of God, worshiping God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they? Where do they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are part of that group in our text. A great multitude that no one could count, for salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.